looking at some experiences that shape our lives if we're living the blessed lives, and our lives ought to be shaped by the spiritual rather than the carnal. In verse 47 and verse 48, I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. My hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved, and I will meditate in thy statutes. We see that these experiences are identified by those two words, I have. And we see here in both of these passages that thy commandments, which I have loved. We ought to have the experience of being in love with God's Word. We've already seen during this series that it involves a conviction for the Word of God, but also it involves a personal experience concerning the Word of God, again, a being in love with God's Word. We ought to love God's Word. Our love for God's Word ought to be increasing all the time. Every aspect of God's Word. But in these two verses, the psalmist twice states his love for the Word of God. It's a personal love for God's Word, and so must ours be. It must be personal. And this love for God, this love for God's Word is a foundational block to spiritual maturity. Spiritual maturity is absolutely necessary to enjoy the blessed life. It is a building block to spiritual prosperity. And the two go hand in hand. Spiritual maturity, spiritual prosperity. We need to often measure our spiritual maturity. And the way we do that is not by comparing ourselves with others, but by comparing ourselves with the Lord, by examining our hearts. So this spiritual maturity, spiritual prosperity is absolutely necessary for the blessed life. And a large part of that is simply being in love with God's Word. In verse 97, the psalmist says, oh, again, an interjection expressing emotion and stirring. He says, oh, how. Word how there expresses manner or degree. It's a word we use to express manner or degree. I, that's personal, love thy law. Oh, how I love thy law. And in verse 140, he says, thy word is very pure. Therefore, because of what God's word is, it's very pure, thy servant loveth it. Thy servant loveth it. So he loves God's word because of what it is, and that should be so with us. We love God's word because it's God's word. Verse 163, he says, thy law do I love. Thy law do I love. Verse 167, he says, I love them, referring back to the testimonies of God, exceedingly or completely. I love them in a way that exceeds other loves. So in each of these verses, the psalmist makes an open declaration of love for God's word. And so should we. And the blessed life is an open declaration of love for God's word. Now, love is an emotion. Love is also an act. And we ought to have an emotion, for God's word, and we ought to act upon that emotion. So this love involves both the emotion and the expression of our affection for God's word. We are to love God's word means that we have a tenderness toward God's word. It means that we feel a warmth toward the word of God. When you love something, it means that there's an attachment. So to say that we love God's word means that we have an attachment to God's word. Any person that you love, you have an attachment to them. To love something means that you have an endearment toward that. Means that there's a devotion. You're devoted to what you love. It means adoration. Where there's love, there's passion. Where there's love, there's desire. So when we love God's word, we have a passion. We have a desire for God's word. But love also includes enjoyment. To love God's word means that we enjoy the word of God. But love also shows partiality. It means that we are to have a partiality for the word of God. And we're to make no apology for that. To love something is to have regard for it. So when the psalmist says that he loves God's word, it includes all of these things. And the blessed life involves intense emotion for the word of God. Love is a personal experience. It's something that you personally experience, whether you are the one loving or whether you are loved. It is a personal experience. It is something that an individual takes part in or has a part in. It's part of their life. So the blessed life is an ongoing experience of God's, an ongoing experience of loving God's word. Something else that love does. Love is a governing influence in our life. It governs our actions. It governs our speech. It's a governing influence in our life. So when we say that we love God's word, or when we have the experience of loving God's word, that means that love has a governing influence in our life. It affects our life. You can't say that a person loves God's word and then that love has no governing influence in their life. So the blessed life, we are governed by our love for God's word. Love governs our feelings. Again, this is true whether we're talking about love between people or whatever. It could be love for an inanimate object. Whatever, love governs our feelings. Love for God's word governs our feelings. Love also governs our perception. People, when love is involved, people perceive things differently. Love governs our perceptions. We're to have a love for God's word. Love also governs our judgments. And our love for God's word has an effect upon our judgments. Love governs our actions. Love, again, acts. It is a feeling, but it's more than a feeling. It's a feeling upon which we act. And again, love for God's word governs our actions. So the psalmist here was possessed with a personal affection, a personal tenderness, concern, warmth, fondness, an attachment, a bond, an endearment. That is, he had a sentiment for God's Word. There was a feeling of devotion towards God's Word. That is, there was loyalty, there was commitment. This is what it means to love God's Word. There was an adoration for God's Word. That is, there was a regard of awe, a regard and awe of God's Word. There was a passion. That is, a fervor, an eagerness, a zeal for God's Word. There was a desire for God's Word. That is, he had a yearning for God's Word. There was an inclination in him toward the Word of God. He loved God's Word. That means he found enjoyment, he found pleasure, he found satisfaction in God's Word. These are experiences that ought to shape our entire life. We see that he had a partiality toward God's Word. That is, there was a bias toward the Word of God. There was a respect and an admiration toward the Word of God. And all of this was to a degree that it was a controlling force and influence. And our love for God's Word ought to be a controlling force and influence in our lives. So the blessed life is a Word of God controlled life, or a Word of God governed life. And the psalmist throughout the 119th Psalm expresses his deep and abiding love for God's Word. And he does so in a variety of ways. He expresses his love for God's Word in stating his determinations concerning God's Word. And we've already looked at this. We see the blessed life is made up of certain determinations, and they're spiritual determinations. So we're not going to turn to these verses, but in expressing his love for the Word of God, he expressed that there was a personal determination to keep God's Word. And if we're in love with God's Word, that gives us a personal determination. I am going to keep God's Word. He states his love by stating his personal determination to meditate. He at least three times stated that I will meditate in thy precepts. Love causes you to be focused upon the object of love. And if we love God's Word, we're focused upon God's Word. We find ourselves meditating, not just thinking, but we find ourselves meditating upon God's Word. He expressed his determination to delight in God's Word. He expressed his determination not to forget God's Word. And the way not to forget God's Word, of course, is to meditate upon it. If the object that is loved is not easily forgotten, of course. And if we love God's Word, we don't forget God's Word. We don't forget God's Word through the day. We remember the Word of God. He expressed his love by stating his personal determination to maintain an eagerness for the Word of God. And again, the blessed life involves an eagerness for God's Word. All of these things are a measure of spirituality. He expresses his love for God's Word in his prayers concerning God's Word. And we've looked at this also. The blessed life is a life of prayer. But concerning the Word of God, he prayed that he would be personally attached to the Word of God. He prayed that about five different times that he would be personally attached to God's Word. He prayed that God would teach him His Word. He prayed that probably about six times. Teach me thy statutes. Teach me thy ways. So there was a prayer for God to teach him His Word. And every time we open the Word of God, we ought to feel a love for God's Word, and there ought to be a desire, and there ought to be a longing for God's Word, and there ought to be the prayer that God would teach us His Word, that God would give us an understanding for His Word, that God would cause us to see Him in His Word, and cause us to see ourselves in His Word. And the psalmist prayed concerning all of these things. He expresses his love for God's Word by making personal declarations concerning God's Word. In verse 54, he said, "Thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage." Thy statutes, thy Word has been my songs. What is it that we sing about? What is it that gives joy in our hearts? It ought to be the Word of God. And we see that thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. I guarantee you, you will find it far more beneficial to sing the Word of God than to listen, or to listen to songs concerning the Word of God, than listen to worldly songs. Verse 70, he says, "I delight." That is, I take pleasure in, I revel in thy law. Again, if you love something, there's pleasure in it. Verse 72, he said, "The law of thy mouth is better." That is, it is more useful, it is more helpful, it is more beneficial, it is more advantageous unto me than thousands of gold and silver. He has a great appreciation for the Word of God. And we make choices every day concerning spiritual and carnal. We make choices every day concerning the Word of God and something else. But the psalmist says that he realized that the Word of God was better to him, better for him, than thousands of gold and silver, or than an abundance of gold and silver. Verse 99, he says, "For thy testimonies are my meditation." He's not thinking upon gold and silver. He's thinking upon the Word of God. Verse 143, "Thy commandments are my delights." He also expresses his love for God's Word, stating his practice concerning God's Word. He said in verse 30 and also verse 173, in verse 30 he said, "I have chosen the way of truth." And in verse 173, "I have chosen thy precepts." So the blessed life involves choices. Any life involves choices. People make choices all the time. They make choices of how they're going to spend their money. They make choices the places they go. They make choices. We all do that. And our life is shaped by our choices. And every day we have to make choices. And many times we have to make choices between the carnal, the secular, and the spiritual. But the blessed life is a life of choosing God's Word. He says, "I have chosen." That is a deliberate act. To choose something is a deliberate act. It's something that involves forethought. And he says, "I have chosen thy precept." A choice must have a reason. You have to have a reason for making a choice. Lot looked upon the fields, and the reason he chose Sodom, or that area, was because he thought it would be advantageous for his cattle. But he had a reason, and we all have reasons. Whether we want to get to the truth of the reason or not, that's another matter. But we all have reasons for the choices that we make. They can be good reasons. They can be very bad reasons. But we have reasons. And the psalmist says, I have chosen thy precepts. In other words, I have thought about this, and I have reasons for doing so. Well, we've already read one of his reasons. Verse 72, the law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. He's saying, I have chosen the word of God because it's better. It's better than what the world considers the best. We need to honestly ask ourselves, do we consider spiritual matters to be better than worldly matters? People speak volumes by the choices they make. It speaks volumes. It speaks volumes of where we are spiritually. You don't have to say a word with your mouth. You make choices. We make choices. And those choices speak volumes. When a person chooses to go elsewhere rather than the house of God, that speaks volumes. That speaks volumes. When a person chooses to be with the ungodly rather than their brothers and sisters in Christ, that speaks volumes. We make choices, and our choices are based upon reasons, and our choices are based upon what we think is good for us or enjoyable to us. So one of the reasons he chose God's Word, again, is because he loves God's Word. If you love God's Word, you're going to choose God's Word. If you love God's Word more than gold and silver, you're going to choose God's Word above gold and silver. If you love gold and silver more than God's Word, you're going to choose gold and silver. I mean, this isn't rocket science. It's very simple. It's very, very simple. The law of thy mouth is better unto me. May not be for anyone else, but he says it's better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. He also said in verse 40, I have longed after thy precepts. That's another reason to choose it. If you long for something, you yearn for it, you crave for it, you hunger, you thirst for it, when the opportunity is there, that's going to be your choice. We choose what we hunger and thirst for. I have chosen the way of truth. I have chosen thy precepts. I have longed. I have a yearning. If we have a love for God's Word in our heart, there is also a longing for God's Word in our heart. In verse 94, he says, I have sought thy precepts. When you seek something, what you're seeking is a priority. So when he says, I have sought thy precepts, he is saying that God's Word is a priority in his life. The reason it's a priority is because he loves it. Love makes it a priority. The reason he chose it was because of his love and because it is a priority in his life. And we need to examine our lives. Where is God's Word on our list of priorities? Where does God's Word come in? And that speaks volumes once again concerning our life. But in the blessed life, the Word of God is a priority. That's true regarding the reading of it. That's true regarding the hearing of it. It's a priority. It is a priority in life. The psalmist also said in verse 61, I have not forgotten thy law. I have not forgotten thy law. If you love somebody, you do not forget them. If you love God's word, you do not forget it. When he says, I do not forget, he is saying, I am mindful of it. I am mindful of God's word. And the blessed life, the word of, in the blessed life, the word of God is upon our minds. Our minds are occupied with the word of God. It doesn't mean, we're human, it doesn't mean that nothing else ever crosses our mind. But the word of God is always there. And we're mindful of God's word. We see something, and the word of God comes to our mind. We see a behavior, and the word of God comes to our mind. We see a circumstance, and the word of God comes to our mind. You see God's hand working in your life or someone else's life, and you're able to point to Scripture and say, there it is. That's being mindful of God's word. And that will greatly shape your life. And it'll make life more enjoyable. It makes life better. Verse 66, the psalmist said, I have believed. That is, I regard it as true and I have confidence. He said, I have believed thy commandments. There was faith in God's word. The blessed life is a life based upon belief in God's word. Belief in God's word. Again, if God's word is a priority, if we're mindful of God's word, we have faith in God's word, it's not difficult to choose God's word. When all of those things are in place, the natural result is choosing God's word. He said in verse 74, I have hoped in thy word. And we looked at that last week. It speaks of an assurance. The blessed life is a life of assurance. It's a life of confidence. It's a life of certainty concerning God. Here the psalmist breaks it down a little more. I have hoped in thy word. That is, the basis of his assurance was God's word. And as we said last week, the basis of our assurance is not circumstances. The basis of our assurance is not ourselves or anyone else. The basis of our assurance is God, who He is. And the basis of our assurance is what God says in His word. Yes, circumstances are this, but God says this. Yes, this person has done that, but God says this. Yes, I feel this way, but God says this. There is a certainty. There is an assurance in God's word. In all of these things, the more faith you have in God's word, the more love you have for God's word. The more assurance you have in God's word, the more love you have for God's word. The more it's a priority. Again, they all work together. But it all goes back to a love for God's word. So I have hoped in thy word. This is assurance. Hope conveys the idea of anticipation. Our anticipation ought to be in the word of God. That is, we look at the promises that are stated in God's word and we ought to anticipate such. We look at what God says. God says, you do this, this is going to happen. Well, when you do that, you need to anticipate. This is going to happen, whether it be good or bad. I mean, the patterns are all through the Word of God. It's not hard to look at a situation, to look at a behavior, and say, unless God intervenes, this is what's going to happen 4 or 5 steps down the road. Or how do you know that's going to happen? Because it's what God's Word says. It's revealed over and over and over and over again. And so many times God's people are shocked. Well, I just can't believe it. Well, if you were mindful of God's Word, it's not hard to believe. You see it coming. You see it coming. So, again, I've told many people, you continue in this behavior, whatever the behavior is, unless God intervenes, this is where you're going to be. This is where you. For some reason, everybody thinks it's different for them. But it's not. All you have to do is look around. It's not different. The blessed life is a life lived with conviction concerning the Word of God. A life lived in anticipation and expectation of the Word of God. So in all of these declarations concerning the Word of God, there is the expression of personal love for God's Word. There is also testimony of the place of God's Word in the life. God's Word must have a place in our life. And the best place, of course, for God's Word is in our hearts. But God's Word must have a place. We have to do something with God's Word. That's true of everybody. You have to do something with it. You have, when you sit down in the morning or whenever you do, whenever you sit down and read God's Word, you have to do something with what you've read. You can forget it. You can ignore it. You can practice it. You can meditate upon it. But you have to do something with what you read. That's true also when we hear God's Word. We have to do something with it. And the more we love God's Word, the more our lives are affected by God's Word. The more we are drawn to God's Word. Our hearts ought to be drawn to the Word of God. We ought to find great pleasure in God's Word. God's Word is not boring to a child of God. God's Word is not boring to someone who loves God, to someone who loves God's Word. It's very interesting. It's more interesting than any other book written in the history of the world. And our hearts ought to be drawn to this book every day. And we've preached on this many times, but every day our hearts need to be drawn to the Word of God. And if it's not, that ought to greatly concern us, because it speaks volumes concerning our own spirituality. To live this blessed life is to have wonderful, wonderful experiences of God's Word. Look at your life, and you have had wonderful experiences in God's Word. Some of the most blessed experiences that have ever occurred have been in the Word of God. Whether you could be reading God's Word, and oh, what a blessed experience. Whether it be hearing God's Word. So we have wonderful experiences in God's Word. And those experiences shape our lives. Just like any experience shapes your life, has a part in shaping your life. So our experiences in God's Word ought to have a shaping effect upon our lives. God's Word ought to be in us. It ought to be in us alive and active. Has a very powerful and vigorous and dynamic force and influence in our lives. Performing a function in our lives. A function that has a transforming effect. And that is the blessed life. It is to be in love with God's Word. People think it's wonderful to be in love, and it is. And it is wonderful to be in love with God, to be in love with God's Word. And that's a love that the world cannot identify with. They cannot identify with it. But it ought to be such a huge part of our life to just love the Word of God, to love it more every single day, to be more and more drawn to it every single day, to be more and more mindful of it every single day, to know it better every single day. It ought to be a quest of life to know God's Word, to know God's Word better than we do at present, to know it more. Because no matter how much we know or how much we think we know, there's a lot more to know. And you and I cannot even begin to know it all concerning God's Word. I guarantee you, no matter how much you study a topic in the Word of God, you cannot exhaust it. Cannot be done. You have not covered every single aspect of that topic. God has. You and I haven't. We need to always realize that, and that just causes us, because it is so exhaustless, that just causes us to love it that much more, to be that much more interested, to be that much more drawn to it. So if we're going to live this blessed life, the Word of God, we must have a conviction concerning the Word of God, which we've seen, and we must be in love with God's Word. Brother Jim, if you'd come and lead us verse song.